is it impossible to have bodhicitta before you have a direct perception interest? He didn't go that far. Now, did he want to go that far? I don't know. But it's interesting because I've had people in my life like challenge me and say, oh, but you're supposed to get bodhicitta first and then you get the direct perception of emptiness. And this is a nice scriptural reference, if you need a scriptural reference, that says sometimes it would be the other way around. Okay? Although it doesn't say direct. Yeah. Now, this is a little confusing because he said, to follow it all the way back, he said the reason there's three kinds of compassion is that that was presented relative to people of dull faculties. Then he said, those who are of greater faculties, they have to see that enlightenment is possible before they'll buy into the idea of bodhicitta. Got it? And then he says, with respect to them, he just throws in, relates to. He just throws in at the end, it relates to them. What relates to them, or what, you know, it's not very clear. Okay? He throws it in at the end, right here. Wangbuchibuchi, same word. Would you say that the presentation in... I would say parts of the presentation or something like that, because somebody said it's contradictory to say that you... What he's complaining about is that you've indicated that you have to understand emptiness to get bodhicitta, but then you've also said that compassion is the cause to see emptiness. So it seems like you're contradicting yourself. He says, no, they're just relative to different people. You know, when we say first you get compassion, first you get bodhicitta, then you see emptiness, that's relative to people with dull faculties. When we say first you see emptiness and then you get bodhicitta, that's relative to people with sharp faculties. That's all he's saying. Yeah.
The get first, I think it should be they get first.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, can you see this okay? Is it big enough?
Yeah.
Big enough? Okay. I used to do flashcards like this, but okay. 1, 2, 3. Nyongwa tenpa la tarpa tse me nge ge pa yin de. You say higher intellectual power? Higher power? Sharper? Learn to be good. Okay? Tapa, say tapa?
Tapa.
Denier.
Denier.
Tapa denier.
Tapa denier.
Mm, the aspiration for tapa, moksha, freedom. Is that enlightenment?
No.
Usually that's not enlightenment. Usually tapa refers to nirvana. Okay? But sometimes it can refer to nirvana and enlightenment. The word moksha. It's sometimes used for both. It's often used for nirvana only, as opposed to full enlightenment. So let's see where he's going. I'm just warning you. He slipped in something. Now, does he intend to use it to trip us? I don't know. Okay. But let's see. Because that ain't what we were talking about exactly. One, two, three. De tar ba se me ma nge ba tar pa la te nir ki sam pa tam cha min jo. Slow-mo. Okay, say min jo.
Minjok.
See it at the end there? Minjok. Open vowel and a prenasal. Okay? Minjok. Okay. Okay. So you know, are you going to take munba senke, right? Are you going to take vow? Are you going to take a commitment? Oh yeah, I'll save every living being. And they say no, not until I can confirm that it's possible. Because what would it mean? You know, if I make a promise that I'm going to turn every living being into a tantric deity, you know, then. I have to confirm that it's possible first. Then I'll promise, you see. And if they don't even make that preliminary promise, how could they ever get full bodhicitta, right? Like, we may have committed ourselves to the idea, right, in the first stage of bodhisattva vows. They won't even do that until they can confirm, at least intellectually, that it's possible. Because why would a yogi swear to something if they weren't sure it could be done? You see what I mean? And we just like, we call it yamjuk. Yamjuk means, oh, they're giving bodhisattvas vows today. Well, let's go. Everybody's going, you know. What do you want me to swear to? Oh yeah, I swear, you know. And then they're like, no. Before I swear, I want to know if it's possible. You know what I mean? And so a real yogi doesn't swear to things. And once they swear, they don't give it up. Right? Okay. Even when it gets uncomfortable. Okay. Easy to say, right? Okay. You okay? Got it? Okay. One, two, three. Gula dar tick. Say it. Tick. Tick. What is tick? What is tick? Yeah, it's commentary. Dika in Sanskrit. Okay, that's a Sanskrit word. That's why it looks so weird. Long I, dik. Okay, let's start again. One, two, three. Gula dhar dik le kyang du ja ni ki ong po nun bu ni har pa tu ni ki. Oh, I'm sorry. That was cute, right? Why did you do that? Okay, I'm not going to touch it. I'm sorry, you have to do it again. One, two, three. Tantra. You had it long ago. I never finished the reading, but I hope to someday. The Tantric is Gyaltsebje's commentary. Okay. What's his full name? Gyaltsebje. Gyaltsebje means the reason, the regent, right? The one who took over the throne from Jethukamma. Yeah, Dharma Rinchen. So I think that's why they call it Dartic. From, it's not the Dharma in Dharma Mitra, for example. It's a different Dharma. It's spelled differently. It's just Dharma Rinchen. So I think that's the Dhar. We could check it. Let's check it. We'll look up Gyulama, right? And this we would check in the catalog, ACIP catalog. And there's the root text, right? And it didn't have any. There's another place. Yeah, there it is. Okay. And it's just called a commentary on the Tepa Chembo Gyulama. Okay. And it's by Gyaltsebje Dharma Rinchen. Okay. So we're safe to call it Dharma Rinchen's commentary, Gyaltsebje's commentary. Okay. What did we translate Gyulama as? Latter part of the series. Nice.
When is Mahayana Paratantra Shastra, that translates also as another commentary to the series. So how do we differentiate, how do we ensure that the title here is a commentary to the text?
It's Dalpa Dalpa. It should be Dalpa Dalpa, the commentary on the commentary, right? It should be that. And perhaps that's why he chose the word Tika. So it's Dalpa Tika. You see, so that's in my mind when I decide. That's one reason why I would decide. Okay? Okay. Let's see. Okay?
What are you translating mitta songwa?
Have already had. Yeah. In Tibetan, it must have gone in the past. It means before. It can also mean blue. So mundu song means, song is the past tense of what? Draw. It's very weird. Like, what's the English translation for draw? What's the past tense of go? Or went? You see, in most languages, the past tense of the verb to go, for some reason, changes drastically. I don't know why, but in Tibetan as well. It goes from draw to song. So it means, if you were a less mature translator with more hair, you'd make it a passive sentence. You'd say, oh, it must have gone before, you know? And then you'd be following the Tibetan more closely. But this is how we say that in English. And you always have to think that. You know, how would we say that? How would I say that to somebody in Bui? You know, I wouldn't say the perception should have gone previously or something. You know, I'd say you must have already have seen. You see, like that. Okay. You have to think like that. And then you'll be able to reach more, a greater audience with your translations, because it'll be more comfortable for them. Okay?
What would Gelson Jay consider to be a perception of emptiness in its gross form?
Yeah, you have to debate that. You guys have to debate that. Take it to the debate ground. Yeah,
because
you know, in Madhyamika, we don't believe in Prasangika. We're not talking Dagme Taraksam. Say Dagme.
Dagme.
Taraksam.
Taraksam.
The 3 degrees of selflessness. We don't accept that in the Prasangika system. So what's he talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He thought that the past tense of drove chin.
That's one. You could say that also. Okay. That's one also. They're both, I think, they both are.
And they're both are. Gyo-sub or
sub? I don't know. Before a J, it seems to be a B. That's all I can say.
But no. It's a sub or a sub?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct. Yeah. Gyo-sub. Okay. Okay. I once tried to, standardize the pronunciation system for Tibetan. And it's in the ACIP Release 4 catalog, if you're interested. Okay. I don't think anyone's even ever tried. I mean, there's a logic to it, but it's difficult. It's a difficult logic. Okay. Where'd the Tibetan go? Oh, that's all I did, okay. Just to show you, it could be done. And if I have time, I'll do a little bit more next time. But let's just keep going with the Roman letters. Let me think of something. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Tarpa Tunyaki. Lo na chi min ki nyong wa tum be lo yin na rang gyun den ki kang sa de tar pa tse me nge be ma kya de. No, it's still the wrong look. It's still us talking.
Can we go back to the other one?
Yeah, sure. That was his Lungi Dubje. What's Lungi Dubje? Scriptural proof. Like first he did logical proof, Rigpa Dubje, and then he did scriptural proof, Lungi Dubje. Yeah, we're going to go back. But that's why the monk in New Jersey is called Jampa Lungri. It's a big compliment to give somebody this name, Lung and Rigpa. He's got scriptural authority and logic behind him. Okay. What he said was that if you have higher powers, you won't aspire to freedom without confirming freedom.
All right, gotcha.
But now he said, but not everybody who aspires to freedom has confirmed freedom. Okay?
I thought it might be contradictory, yeah. But it's not.
No problem now, right?
No, not at all.
But not everybody who aspires to freedom has confirmed that freedom. Like who? Who's your chichen?
People
who are Wangtu. What? A person of relatively less sharp powers wouldn't have confirmed it first. But that's not where he goes. That's not his proof. It would be it's where we would go, right? That's not how he proves it. Here's how he proves it. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Zo chang ten ye ki lo la zhe min ki nyong wa teng be lo yin na rang gin den ki kang sa te zo chang tse me nye be ma kya we. Not this. Get that rotator cuff. We gotta get ready. Like we'll be at this monastery in Manali, right? We gotta. You know, Geshe Thupten is gonna be like, "And what do you think the proof is?" You gotta. Okay. Don't be a girl in the debate. Okay, all right. No, I've noticed this disturbing pat, you know. The background's getting a little sedate. Okay. Oh, yeah? Give them more ice cream, then they get all loony, and then they're like. Okay. Just kidding. Not me. Okay. Time for chocolate. Ian, red by for the lady. That's not hinting, that's directing. Sorry, okay. Here's a translator's trick. Just copy the last sentence. Chakas at home, but they keep forgetting it. It's not true that everyone who aspires for freedom has confirmed the existence of freedom, because it's not true that everybody who aspires for total enlightenment has confirmed the existence of total enlightenment. I'll say it again. It's not true that just because you aspire for freedom, you've perceived that freedom, you've confirmed the existence of that freedom, because you can aspire for total enlightenment and not confirm the existence of total enlightenment.
Of course.
Well, it's not what I would have said, but...
It makes sense.
Huh? Well, that's a very interesting question, McNally.
I see skull.
No, it's a... It's a good question. I mean, what kind of non-Buddha can perceive a Buddha? I mean, what kind of non-Buddha can perceive Buddhahood? If you could have a direct, if you could have a valid perception of Buddhahood, then you'd be a Buddha. I mean, we can't see them, we can't think of them, we can't even imagine their qualities. How you can, what are you talking confirmed total enlightenment?
So you don't see the Dharmakaya in Kama?
Say again?
So you don't see the Dharmakaya in Kama?
Yes.
That's true.
Can't you have a logical perception?
That's better.
Well, yeah, sure.
They're both true. Both the lemons are correct. Make it a chocolate. Okay.
And a red whip.
You don't want those red vine things. Okay. Now, he considers the matter closed, so we will too. But he probably wants you to go to the debate ground and thrash that out. Sorry? That they have to have a direct perception? He never says through a direct valid perception. Sure. Without directly perceiving what? Oh, now that's a good question.
That's the only question left.
No, I think so. If I was in the break, I'd say, yeah. I'd say, take a bodhisattva who is, achieved bodhicitta and soglam, but didn't get to jolam chicho yet. I'd say something like that. You said direct perception of dependentization, right?
No, she said without a direct perception.
Yeah, without a direct perception of dependentization.
Without a direct perception.
Without a direct perception.
Yeah.
Dependentization still
would work out. Yeah, but it'd be nicer to have a direct perception. Okay.
It would, it certainly would.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay. Are your mouths clear yet?
No.
I better wait. Okay, well, we could go around. One, two, three. Nyen te sangye jina tu wang ke se soki shung di. So Tansen and young boy, little Sentin Dunyale, Gopandurbe, Ninja, Dubayinkan. Does this sound familiar? Nyente Sangye, bring them to Bonke. No, doesn't it? What is it? It's the opening lines of the written text. Okay? Let's see if we've had it before. I think we've had it. I'm going to go up to the top. Search for... What is it? Nyan to...
Sun.
Because I just want to see if we've translated it before. Yeah, here we go. Back about a year ago, I think.
The first.
So we'll just cop that and then go down to where we are. That's how you can get. What paper are we at? Oh, I can start again now. Okay. They're right sometimes. Okay. Nellie likes fledgling. I don't know. Say les d'ambois. Les d'ambois.
Les
d'ambois. Les means to work here. Dumbo means first. Les d'ambois means a tenderfoot or a greenhorn or, you know, someone who's just first begun the job. And it's an adjective, like a beginning bodhisattva or a just starting out bodhisattva. A fledgling is pretty good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I should say rookie.
Yeah.
Okay. Betts has to deal with that in the press. Okay. Praise of the principal cause of the fledgling. Where is he going with this? I don't know. Okay, but he's a little bit staying on his theme of I was talking about. He's not saying relatively dull powers, but he's saying beginners. Okay, where is he going with that? I don't know. We'll see.
There's a temple.
Where?
Living.
Okay. Chang chu sen be gyu ki ning je la yang de ba yin de. That's not strictly logical to me, right? They are words in praise of beginning bodhisattva's compassion, but they're also words in praise of the bodhisattva's compassion. You see? But I assume he means more developed bodhisattva, but he doesn't say that, okay? Yeah. We may have had that, right? It's the, that it was Burantabu, like sugarcane. Sugarcane. Could be, I think so. Okay. Dhamma Ningjeng, Giyu Na Tenbe, Kaoza Te Chansa Dusimbe, Chua. One, two, three. Dhamma Ningjeng, Giyu Na Tenbe, Kansa de chan sen su sung me. Okay. You okay? Yeah, I mean, he's got Ningje in some tenure text. It's like to say he has bodhicitta. Okay? And he's a bodhisattva. Okay? The tenure texts are normally less, how do you say, demanding, or they're less strictly accurate than the Sumbum text.
Okay. In some cases, it seems like we're even using love.
Yeah.
Using what?
Love, as you know, with a bodhicitta. Yeah. It seems you can sense, if you've been in this class for a while, you can sense that there's sort of a mixture happening between the ideas of love and compassion and bodhicitta. Although strictly, they're separate things. Okay.
Love?
Yeah.
In two cases now, I think you've translated you as.
Hearts,
and in one case you translated it as words, or maybe I mistook that.
Words? I shouldn't have.
As well. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed.
Oh, okay. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now. We're actually getting close, and we'll have enough classes to get to the body of the text. We'll actually start on the text. And this is normal in a Tibetan commentary. They overkill the first two pages, and then they rush through the rest a little bit. And the last part, maybe they just quote the text directly. It's like a teaching by His Holiness in Central Park. You know, he starts out with the first verse of the 8 verses, and then he goes off on South Africa, and then in the last 5 minutes, he's like, he does the other 7 verses. And I'm not saying it's not that perfect. I mean, they did what had to be done, right? But normally, you'll find that even in the debate ground, the first page of a classic is what's debated probably 25% of the time or something. Okay, because I guess the heart of the matter is often in the first page. Okay, okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Ten chu ju pa som be to mar chu ju mu sun ze ne som pa tham cha. Okay. Say, Kimindu.
Kimindu.
No problem. And when you hear that in India, as Christine will learn, it means the bus broke down like 4 days ago and the parts are in Sri Lanka or something. No, from Kimindu. Kinme is the literary form. Kinmindu is the... You'll hear it in Tibet, in Tibetan. You know, people say Kinmindu, no problem. Okay, then you know there's a problem. So there's no problem here. And this is... we had fun with this when we did the Yoga Sutra commentary, because at the beginning he says, Atta Yoganu Shasanam. He says, Atta Yoganu Shasanam, opening lines of the Yoga Sutra. You know, now I will review for you how we make ourselves whole. Or I will... And the word anushasanam is I will review. Okay? So he doesn't say I will, but that's a promise to compose the text, you see? That's a promise to compose the text. He doesn't directly praise anybody. He doesn't say I bow down to Ishvara, or you know, I bow down to Goraksha, or something like that. He just says, I will review with you the yoga. But in the word review is contained what? There's this big kengba kinwa. They call kengba, say kengba? Kinwa. It means an act of humility. There's an act of humility in the word review. It means, what do I know? I'm just going over with you what the sages said in the past. You know, the word anushasanam is very powerful. It's like, I'll just review with you. So in that one word review, he's done two things. What? Say chidja. And Tsomba Damjawa. Chidja. Tsomba Damjawa. At the beginning of every classical book in India, you did both of these things. You made a praise to some holy object, Chidja, an offering of praise to some holy object. And then you Tsomba Damjawa. You say, I'm going to write this book, even if I die writing it. You know, even if I die, halfway through. And I told you many times, but I'll tell you again. There's a book in the Tengyur that ends with, and then, and it just ends, you know, and then they say the guy died, the yogi died before he finished, but he didn't stop, you know. I mean, his breath finished before he, then he set the pen down, you know, so once you promise, you promise. Now there's a problem with this book. He makes this praise of the three causes of a bodhisattva, right? But then he doesn't say, I'm going to write this book. He doesn't say, I swear to take it to the end. Okay? So what's going on? One, two, three. Tsawa Sheram Dham Rekpa tu chupa nile chuju lusu zene sompar tamcha musu manzepa tabu imbe. And that's true. Who wrote the root text on wisdom and the 60 verses on reason? Ayanagarjuna. So it's probably okay. Okay, all right. You know, like two of his Rigsodru, two of his the six great books on reasoning. Why are they called reasoning? Do they treat the subject of logic?
Emptiness.
I heard you, but I didn't hear you. Say again? No, he proves logic. He proves emptiness with logic, as opposed to his other book, Dode Kuntu, where he proves it through scriptural sources. Okay? But I always used to think they were logic books, books about logic. But they're not. Okay. Okay? So if Aryanagarjuna can do it, we can do it, right? He's saying. Or Master Chandrakirti could do it.
Is this in this book too also?
Sorry?
In his Shunyata Sampai Kirtanaman, he does the 70 verses.
He doesn't?
He bows to the youthful Manju Shri, and that's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you could debate that. Are those only two works by Aryanagarjuna? Anyway. 1, 2, 3. Tsongpa Tamcha Musun Zene Chuchu Musun Manzepa Yang Yude. Yeah. Okay? There's places where people do the reverse. They say, I'll compose this book, but they don't bow down to anybody, and they don't describe any holy beings' great qualities or anything like that before. Okay? Which are two requisites for a good book. Uma shepe ting yi tamu yin bei. Say shi ting.
Shi
ting. The letter to a friend, the epistle to a friend, King Udayabhadra, right? Written by whom? Yeah, Aryanagarjuna. He's misspelled the title here. But he's misspelled it in an interesting way. So instead of being the letter to a friend which treats the middle way, it's the letter in which you know the middle way. Maybe it was Freudian, I don't know. So what do we do with that? Yeah, I'd probably go to the scan. But I'm feeling lazy tonight, so... We'll just make a note for next week. We'll leave it to the guy next week. And this is true. Breaking one of our rules, right? I don't know about you. I feel tired. I mean, it's a really heavy semester, right? All those homeworks. Okay. This is true because... Okay. Now he's going to say something which you could have guessed. One, two, three. Ten chun jupa. tsompe tamcha lu su manze kyang tsompe tamcha zepa yimte. Big time. Yeah, yeah. Because it's still an open vowel sound. Okay. Fine, right? No problem. He doesn't explicitly say I'm going to write this book, but he goddamn well says he's going to write the book. That wire. What's his thought? Yeah, it's, well, let's see. That's a mic out. One, two, three. Ten chun di zong be shir du ning je chen bo la de cha ze be. Okay. What's another function of the chuja, of the offering of praise?
To collect the virtue, to complete the one.
Yeah.
Ask for help.
Yeah, it's like asking for help, and it's like to set in motion the karma, to not die halfway through the book.
Right.
Okay, so if he did his offering of praise, which is in part to collect enough good karma to get through the book, he must have been intending to get through the book. So that's a commitment, isn't it? And doesn't that implicitly mean he had made a commitment to finish the book? Okay. We're out of time, and I'm just going to give you a preview. They call those things in the movies.
Trailer.
Yeah, that's a trailer for next week. This is the good. Say gusol. Chushi. Gusol.
Chushi.
The four qualities that a book should have before you spend any time on it. Like, you shouldn't... Your lifetime is, like, really, really short. And there will come a day when you just wake up one morning and say, man, what happened? It's gone. You know, it's all gone. I got 2 months left, or I got, like, 6 months left, or it'll come. And you'll look back and say, God, you know, why did I read all this Reader's Digest? Why did I read all those TV guides, you know? Why didn't I spend that time more usefully, you know? And this is Gosol Chushi. You shouldn't pick up a book. You shouldn't open a book unless it has four qualities, you know? Unless it's, like, relevant to your death and to your suffering and other people's suffering. You just shouldn't waste your time on it, you know? People used to ask me, what have you read such and such and such and such a book? I said, no. Nothing. I haven't read an English book in like 10 years. And they say, "Well, did you? What is it? Stuff like Did you read these translations of these books? No, I didn't read any of them. I've never read an English translation of a book, you know. Why? Why? They might have missed something. Why? I just read the Tibetan, you know. And so I really encourage you to don't pick up a book unless you think it's going to save your life. You know, that's what he's going to get into. You know, don't waste your time on don't waste your priceless mental real estate. Because even in a day, 24 hours, you only have like 2 hours to really concentrate and do something, right? The rest is all futz, you know, nothing. And you have to eat and sleep and poop and do all this other stuff just to get your 2 hours a day to do something that you want to do, you know. And so, for God's sake, if a book doesn't have any relevance to your enlightenment and to other people's pain, then don't even open it, you know. And we have a box downstairs we put on. It's called Diamond Mountain Library, but I hope they don't make it. I hope they never make this library, because someone might read them. You know? We just throw them in this book downstairs. That's where all those bookshelves are downstairs, you know. They're like books that didn't make it upstairs. You know? Okay.
A little Robert Jordan sometimes is okay.
Does it directly relate to your enlightenment? No, once you get on a tantric path, everything changes. I mean, we went to the movie, right? I'm still trying to figure out why, but once you're really into tantra properly and authentically, the rules are the same, and then even tighter, but everything changes, and it should be like that, right? Okay. All right. Let's do this prayer thing. Or I should look. Robert Jordan. It's this great series of, you could classify it as fantasy, about saving the universe. But I would also say that to get to Tantra, you must master Sutra, right? So to read Robert Jordan, you need Kirup Dhammadhangi, right? No, really. To really read Robert Jordan, you need Kirup Dhammadhangi first, or at the same time, or something like that. Okay. That's very strong feeling. I strongly feel that. Okay.